never turned your back on me. You didn't abandon me. Your grace and mercy are more than enough for me. It's more than enough. I know I'm not perfect. I know I don't deserve it. I know I couldn't earn it. But you say I am worth it. I've seen the beginning. You have seen the ending. You know what you're doing. You know where we're going.
I know I'm not perfect. I know I don't deserve it. I know I couldn't earn it.
Praise the Lord, church. I said, praise the Lord, church. How many of you are thankful to be in the house of the Lord today? How many of you feel the victory in the room? If you do, I wonder if you would just come down to the front and worship with us.
Like we've all
We praise you, Jesus. We thank you for your presence that we feel right now. Lord, there's no one like you, no one beside you. Come on, lift your hands. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Come on, begin to just call on his name right now.
'Cause I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Just wanna speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus.
Your name is. Your name is healing.
Sing it out. Your name is life.
Your name is life.
Break every stronghold.
Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
And I just want. Jesus,
yes.
Over fear and all anxiety, to every soul captive by depression, I speak Jesus.
In the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus in.
Jesus in the darkness
over every enemy.
And Jesus for my family.
Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Oh, shout Jesus. Shout Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountains. And Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy.
And Jesus for my,
Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Oh, your name is power.
Your name is power.
Your name is healing.
Your name is
our fear and all anxiety. Every dark addiction, oh, we speak freedom in this place. Everyone, I just want to speak the name of Jesus.
Cause I just want to speak the name of Jesus.
Over every heart and every mind.
Over every heart and every mind.
Cause I know there is peace.
I know there is peace within your presence.
So we speak the name.
I speak Jesus.
Cause I just want to speak the name of Jesus. I just want to.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus.
Till every dark addiction.
Till every dark addiction starts to break.
I'm declaring there is hope.
There is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus.
Cause your name is.
Like the Lord is in this room right now. I wonder if you would just lift our hands and just begin to thank Him for all He's done for us. And just begin to tell Him, Lord, I love you, Jesus. Lord, there's no one like you, Jesus. There is nothing like your presence. There is nothing greater than you. Come on, I wonder if you would just begin to tell Him in your own words, God, I thank you, Jesus.
Prince of
This morning, I feel a presence of joy and revival in this house tonight, or this morning. And I thank you, Jesus, for meeting us here, right where we are, and coming down to us. Start off Romans 6:18. Being them made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. Another person even made a quote that says, "Make me captive, Lord, and then I shall be free." So, I know a lot of times we're really brought down by sin, and we don't feel like we're free, but we are here in this place, and we are meant to praise Him because we have the saving love and mercy of God. Maybe we're waiting for Jesus to meet us where we are. Maybe we've been in church, and we're praising Him with all that we have. Or maybe we're waiting to be bought by Him, like Pastor talked about last week. Either way, it is the loving grace of God that brought us here today.
Right.
And no matter where you are, His love is reaching for you.
Yes.
Isaiah 1:18 through 19 says, "Come now and let us reason, saith the Lord." Our God wants to reason with us. Our God wants to talk to us and sit down with us.
Yes.
Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. How many of you guys are ready to take the land this year at Turning Point Church? Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's just throw our hands up one more time and surrender to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done for us. I thank you, Jesus, for meeting us here. Dear God, we know that you're going to do something beautiful this morning. Lord God, I pray that you would work miracles in our lives. In Jesus' name, open up our hearts this morning. Open up our hearts today. Help us take what we will learn outside of church. Help us tell our family, tell our friends, tell everyone that we know. Just start greeting people around you. Thank them for being here. Thank the Lord for meeting us here. And clap your hands unto the Lord. I have a few announcements. First of all, this summer we're doing Vacation Bible School. And if you are interested in helping this year, we will be having a meeting after church in the classroom. That is today, this Sunday. Next off, Wednesday night, we will be meeting here at 6:30 p.m. for cleaning. So make sure you wear work clothes or clothes that you don't mind getting dirty. And then our Section 7 Holy Ghost Rally next Sunday is at 6 p.m. And we need volunteers to help park cars. How many of you are excited for that? We're going to have a special speaker here with us. And last off, we're asking that if you have any extra Easter candy that you don't mind giving up, we ask that you would just bring it here and donate it because we are in need. And I'm going to have, that's it for today. And I'm just going to have the ushers come up right now. And why don't we just pray over the offering that we're about to give the Lord. Just give Him everything you have. Give Him your praise. Get ready to praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. We pray that you do something amazing with this offering. Lord God, in Jesus' name.
break into the wild and don't be afraid. You can run into wide open spaces, 'cause grace is, it's waiting for you. So dance like the weight has been lifted, 'cause grace is, it's waiting. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom.
So come out of the
dark,
just as you are,
just as you are, into the fullness of His love. For the Spirit is here, let there be freedom. Let there be freedom.
While you put your hands together, you're able to walk in freedom. Hallelujah.
Bring all of your burdens. Bring all of your scars. Come back to communion. Come back to the sun. Run into wide open spaces. Grace is waiting for you. You can dance like the weight has been lifted. Grace is waiting. 'Cause where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom.
Come out of the dark,
of the dark,
just as you are,
just as you are,
into the
fullness of His love.
For the Spirit is here.
For the Spirit is here. Let there be freedom. Let there be freedom. Chains will fall, prisons shake at the sound of Jesus' name. Lives made whole, hearts awake at the sound of Jesus' name.
The chains will fall,
prisons shake at the sound of Jesus' name.
Lives made whole,
hearts awake at the sound of Jesus' name. There is freedom, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is freedom.
Come out of the dark,
of the dark,
just as you are,
into the fullness of His love. He did it. Dance like the weight has been lifted. He did it. Dance like the weight has been lifted. He did it. Dance like the weight.
chains have been broken.
He did it. He did it. So like the chains have been broken. He did it. He did it. He did it. He did it.
He did it.
He did it.
He did it.
He did it.
He did it.
He did it.
He did it.
Where the Spirit of the Lord, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom.
Come out of the dark.
Just as you are.
Into the fullness
of His love. For the Spirit is here. Let there be freedom. Let there be freedom.
Chains will break and demons will run away.
In Jesus'
more time, can we lift our hands? Come on, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, would you lift your hands and thank God that He showed mercy unto you? God, we believe in you, Lord. We thank you, God, for changing us. And such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And somebody said, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And you can return back to your seats. Thank you for worshiping with us. My, 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 what a mighty move of God that is in this house. I never, never, ever want to take the presence of God for granted. We walked in here and we're preparing throughout the week just for you to come and feel God's presence. And I never want to get comfortable or take it easy, take a church service off, but every moment in the presence of God, something could change dramatically in my life. And I'm not just filling time. I believe what I'm saying. One moment, one experience in the presence of God could be life-changing. If you have your Bibles, you can start turning to Luke chapter 16, starting in verse 19. And I gave Brother Andy only a few verses today, so you'll just have to follow along. I give honor to Pastor Clutter and Sister Valerie. Thank you for this opportunity. I love you. We thank you for all that you guys do. Thank God for a preacher in my life who can correct me. The Bible says that we're saved by the foolishness of preaching. He chose preaching. He chose a preacher, a watchman on the wall. And I give honor to my family today. My Aunt Holly's here, my granny and Papa Rod. Papa Rod has never heard me preach, so I'm thankful and give honor today that they get to be here. I'm thankful for a grandma that showed my mom and my aunt how to worship and how to live for God. And I stand here today from their prayers, and I thank God for that today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for people and men and women of God that stand for this truth. The Bible says, buy this truth and sell it not. Train up a child in the way that they shall go. So when they're old, they don't depart. But mommy and daddy, you show them how to worship. You show them to open the Bible and to praise the King of Kings and to live in such a holy lifestyle. And I thank God for that. Today, looking at chapter 16 in the book of Luke, the Bible says there was a certain man, a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. Somebody say Lazarus. Which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and he was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now for the next few moments, I want to preach about the topic of hell, but my title is called YOLO. You only live once. So if you lay your Bibles down and lift up your hands and ask God that He would really help us today. God, we don't want to do this without you. God, I don't want hard ground, but Lord, give me good soil to receive this word. God, I would receive the engrafted word with meekness that is able to save my soul, Lord. God, anoint the preacher, anoint your word. God, anoint your people. God, that we would have a time in the Holy Ghost that would be everlasting. God, I pray somebody would repent of their sins and be baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in other tongues. God, I pray that they would feel you. God, let the unbeliever leave here today and say, my God, there is a God in heaven whose name is Jesus, and He loves me so much that He lets me feel His presence. My, 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 my. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated if you're going to help me preach today, but if you're not, you can continue to stand. All righty, everybody's going to help me preach today. Praise God. Luke begins to write the account that Jesus gave. And most of the time in Jesus' ministry, he would say parables. The Bible says, I think in Mark, that he only spake to the crowds in parables. And then he would take his disciples and he would begin to elaborate and let them know what is the mystery of the kingdom. And looking at this story of the rich man and the beggar, some scholars, some commentaries state that they argue whether this is a parable or if this is a true story. And one thing that lets us know that this is a true story, that this really happened, this isn't just something we're reading, and it's not just a parable, a story that is made up to try to illustrate or give us a better understanding of something. Jesus begins to speak and says, there's a certain rich man, which is not named. And then he says, there is a beggar named Lazarus. He gives us the name to let us know that this is a true story. Two men, we have the rich man, the Bible says, clothed in purple. He fared sumptuously every day. He lived however he wanted. And then we had the certain beggar named Lazarus, who was laid at the gate. He was a beggar. He was just trying to get some crumbs from the rich man's table. And two men, totally different lifestyles. And when we come into this life and in this world, there's every different walk of life. We could go up and down the aisle, and everybody could tell their story of where they've come from, rich, poor, black, white. It don't matter. But in Jesus' eyes, the Bible says that he's no respecter of persons. He don't care how much money you have. He doesn't care how you were brought up. But everybody is given this equal opportunity to be a worshiper, a true worshiper in his presence. So nobody comes in here acting like we've earned this, but by the grace and mercy, like Dylan was saying, we get to be in church today. Come on, wasn't your choice. We get to be in the presence of God and feel this Holy Ghost that takes away my anxiety, this Holy Ghost that takes sin out of my life, and it can take the smoke out of your mouth and the alcohol taste out of your mouth when you begin to lift up your voice and the presence of God begins to come down. But that's you, your choice. That's my choice. Jesus is never going to push something on you. So with two men, two different lifestyles, one rich, one poor, the rich man's wealth was evident by his fine linen clothing. It was luxurious. It was expensive. He had as much food as he could dream of. And in that culture, only a few times a year, kings could really fare sumptuously. The rich had everything he dreamed of, didn't know what struggle was, didn't know what not needing money or not needing certain things. And the Bible talks about blessed is the poor in spirit and how hard it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And the parable of the young rich ruler, when he comes to Jesus and he said, tell me how I can have eternal life with you. And Jesus says, well, the commandments, and he tells him, you've got to, thou shalt not kill, steal, and all these things. And he says, I've done all these things. And Jesus looks back at him and says, there's one thing, sell all that you have and give to the poor. Because and I'm not preaching that if you're rich or if we've got money, Jesus wants us to live blessed and highly favored. But when we get to a point where we've got everything we need, we don't need Jesus. But when we're low on money, and Jesus puts us through these trials so that we bend the knee to pray, and he puts you through things and lets you feel some things and lets you go through struggles so you know who you're going to rely on. You're not relying on this world, but you rely on Jesus. So rich, poor, and the poor man, blessed is poor in spirit, getting that spirit of, God, I have nothing, and that all I need is dependent on you. And when you think of a poor man, they're always driving by somebody with a cardboard, you know, sign, and they're just in need always. And that's how Jesus wants us to live, is we're always in need of him. We can't, the Bible talks about in Deuteronomy 8 that when you go to the promised land, don't forget where I brought you from. That when all your cattle is full and you're living in a nice house, don't forget who brought you that, who blessed you. But it was the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it'd be appropriate if we would just thank Jesus. God, thank you that I'm a blessed man. God, I thank you for the money in my bank account. God, I'm thankful for the car I drove to church today. God, I'm thankful for a healthy body. God, I'm thankful for peace of mind. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And so the rich man and the poor beggar. And James chapter 4:14 says, whereas you know what shall be of the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. And so as this rich man, we don't get his name, because as we read on, the Bible says that he died and Lazarus died. And because when the rich man died, he went to hell. But when the poor man died, he went to heaven. Lazarus went to heaven. The rich man went to hell. Because when you go to hell, nobody knows your name. Depart from me, I never knew you. And so we don't get his name, but he's in hell. He's in torment. And so we don't know when our last day is on planet Earth. We can plan I think the average person lives till they're like 75, but we don't plan on death. Nobody prepares for a funeral. And nobody can escape death, but this term YOLO, you only live once, has been sugar-coated and fed to the world that you only live once, so try every drug. Live however you want. Please your flesh as much as you want, because you only live once. Take the risk. Embrace new opportunities without fear or regret. One article writes that it's impulsive justification frequently used to rationalize carefree or reckless behavior, such as making an expensive purchase or doing something dangerous just because. Some use it as a humorous or ironic disclaimer when doing something foolish, acknowledging the potential for a bad outcome, but doing it anyway. And while the statement "you only live once" is so true, and it should not be used to, I only live once, so I'm just going to live free. I want to try everything. I want to make sure I've gone everywhere. I'm going to live life to the fullest. But what people don't keep in mind is what people don't hold in their mind is that there's eternity after this little short life. James said it's a little lifespan that you get, and then it vanished away forever. In eternity, nobody can grasp how long is eternity. And what matters is who we're going to spend eternity with, Jesus or the devil in hell. And it's such a real thing to come to, and every day it's nothing we can forget. But hell is gaining, but also heaven is too, thank God. But every day people make their choice. Every day people die, and it's not, oh, you believe in Jesus and you're making it to heaven, and the grace of God, I can live however I want. But Jesus lets us know that he set the word of God in line that we've got to follow if we want to make it to heaven. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. And so as this rich man, he's in hell, and he looks up in torment. And he's calling on Abraham, and he says, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And Lazarus, that he may dip the finger and water and cool my tongue, for I am in torment in this flame. The AC/DC, I'm on a highway to hell. They begin to pen to paper the song, I'm on a highway to hell. All my friends will be there. I'm going to party it up. But what they don't, I don't know if they read the Bible. They just began to write the song. But hell was not designed for you and I. It was for the devil. The Bible describes hell as torment day and night forever and ever. The Bible describes it as punishment, eternal destruction away from the presence of God. And that's why when we get too comfortable in the presence of God and we forget what it feels like and we forget what conviction is and what a Holy Ghost experience is, that means you're getting too comfortable, and that's what hell's going to feel like. The Bible describes it as a bottomless pit. You're in a free fall and there's gnashing of teeth and torment. And as the rich man looks up in hell, he realized, he said, have mercy on me. But he realized the mercy of God was too far gone. And when you look at, he says, Father Abraham, implying that he was a full-blooded Jew. He knew, he grew up, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. He grew up, mama and daddy showing him, this is how we pray, the blood over the doorpost. He was a backslider, but he had everything he wanted. and he forgot about God. And he walked past the poor man every day, and in hell, in torment, he looks at him and says, just give me the tip of your finger with water. I'm tormented down here. And as the rich man lived his life every day, and Father Abraham says, remember the good things. Remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. Because in his lifetime, he had every opportunity. And I can imagine in hell when the torment is day and night, every opportunity in a church service, every altar call that we missed in hell because we wanted to do it our way. We wanted to feel good about ourselves. But God's calling us back to the altar to say, God, I release all this sin in my life. God, I release all this flesh. God, I can't do it without you, Lord. But God, I need this conviction in my life. Galatians 5:19 says, now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like this. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Mark 9:43, and if thy right arm offend thee, cut it off. For it's better for you to go to heaven with one arm than you to go to hell with two. How true would that be if every time we sin, we'd have to cut something off? We would probably just be organs walking around. And he's not really meaning if your right arm offends you, you've got to go and get a knife and begin to cut your arm off. But he's saying, implying that he's using the hand, stuff that's in reach. If it's causing you to sin, cut it off. Stop messing around with sin. Come on, we're in the last days. Sin is so just normalized nowadays. Come on, I can talk however I want and all these things. No, the Bible says cut it off. It's better for you to go to heaven without a tongue than for you to go to hell with all your members. Come on, it's better for you to cut off the movies. It's better for you to cut off the dirty music than to go to heaven with all these things that you wanted to live. And the saddest part about being in hell, the Bible describes it as there's a breach where hell can see into heaven, but heaven can't come down to where they're at. So they can look at their family, their friends, and see all these things in torment just for the fact of torment. And what's so scary is that there's people, hear this, there's people in this room that if we don't get our lives together, we will end up in hell. And I can imagine, God forbid, we're free falling in hell, a demon come up and say, I remember you were in that service when the preacher was preaching about hell and told you to cut the sin off. But we didn't want to. We wanted to live how we wanted to live, but not according to the Bible. But the Bible still says that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Except the man be born of the water and born of the Spirit. Except the person's baptized in Jesus' name, receive the Holy Ghost speaking. You can't see the kingdom of God. Come on, if you've never been baptized today, I challenge you to get in the water today. Come on, if you've never received the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues, I dare you to lift up your hands and believe in God and He'll forgive you. The Bible says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Come on, nobody's outside of repentance. I need to die daily. I need to get this flesh in check every day. In torment, he's looking up and just one little dip of water. And what the Bible says is in verse 27 that he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest also they shall come into this place of torment. As this rich man is in hell, he realized one thing. I have five brethren that are still alive. They still are in this space of grace. Because with the world nowadays, and Timothy talked about in the last days, some are going to depart from truth. And false doctrine and all these things. And nowadays, if you just look up on Google, how do I be saved? They say, accept the Lord as your personal Savior. And all those Billy Graham crusades that he would preach, that come to the front and say a prayer and you're on your way to heaven. But Jesus, when Nicodemus came to him and says, I know there's something about you. And Nicodemus comes to him at night because he's from the Sanhedrin. He was trying to be low-key about it. And he says, I know that no man can do these miracles except God be with him. And Jesus didn't even really respond to his question, but just says, except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. And I'm sure Nicodemus was thrown out. Why are you even telling me this? Because Jesus knew, I've got to tell everybody else that there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. There is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. Come on, I know it's a little uncomfortable talking about hell, but nobody knows their last day. Nobody knows. And the Bible says that we'll give an account of every word that we've said. We'll stand before Jesus on Judgment Day, and he'll begin to look back over our life and see. And the Bible says that he's not looking at our good works. But in Matthew 7, many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name and done all these miracles and cast out devils? And he will look at them straight in the eyes and say, depart from me, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. And when you realize and understand just how real hell is and how real heaven is, and there's an afterlife, it changes how the way you walk into this place and worship your God. It changes how you live when you walk out of these, because that's the thing. We can preach about hell. We can read about hell. But James said, if you're just a hearer and not a doer, you deceive your own self. You deceive who? I don't want to deceive myself. But if I know it says it in the Word of God, why do I continue to live in that? Because the thought of hell slips out of our mind. And I thank God for his mercy and his grace that he gives us a second chance every day. His mercies are made new every morning. But we've got to do, that's why the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Acts 2, when Peter's preaching, says, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Come on, it's not all, he does the saving. We do the catching, he does the cleaning and the saving. But we've got to clean ourselves up. There's got to be some things that we've got to get rid of. Come on, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. If thy right arm offend thee, cut it off. But when I leave this place, I want to make sure that I'm going to go cut some things off. Come on, there's no perfect person in this room. But God's calling for conviction. He's pulling on our hearts. That, come on, River, would you get rid of that? Would you stop talking like that, River? Come on, there's an eternity after this. Come on, I don't want you to be lost, but I want to spend eternity with you forever. And that takes you and I doing some work in our own selves. Kenneth Carpenter made the statement in one of his messages that nothing would top heaven. What could be better than heaven and what could be worse than hell? And when you think about it, I mean, nothing could be better than heaven. But I can only imagine what would be better than heaven is to when you walk across the gates of pearl onto the streets of gold. And as you're looking at Jesus Christ, the one true God on his throne, and you, as you look around, the whole family gathers next to you, you and your children who you're responsible for. And they get to look upon the throne, and you look and you say, there's Mom, Dad, River, Ryder, Remy, Ridge, and that we've made it. We've done our part. Come on, I know it's not always easy living for God. Come on, I know we get hurt sometimes. I know there's struggles, but we got to push through because there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. But he also made the statement, he said, I can't think of nothing worse than hell than for somebody, a mom, a dad, a person to be free falling. And as the torment is already too much and it's a bottomless pit and the fire is never quenched, so your eternal body's always burning forever and forever and forever. It's for your little kid or your friend or your person you witnessed to come up and say, why didn't you tell me that I've got to do more than just accept the Lord? Why don't you tell me that there's more in this book that I've got to do? Come on, mom and dad, why didn't you bring us to church more often? Come on, mom and dad, why didn't you teach us how to pray and to read our Bibles and to sell out and give ourselves to the kingdom? Come on, mom and dad, why didn't you tell me no to go hang out with these people? Come on, mom and dad, are you serious? You let me go to hell? Because we have a responsibility. And that's what the rich man said. He said, I have five brethren at home. Please go tell them that they can't come to this place. They can't come to this place of hell. Please go tell my brethren that there is a hell down here that is fiery. It's a devilish hell. And he said, tell them that they would repent. And Abraham said, even if they did miracles, they're not going to repent. Because once you've entered into eternity, you're cut off. There's no more second chances. But God's given us a second chance here today to make it right. Come on, I know there's no perfect person, but we have an opportunity. And that's the thing. Only you and I, you can't fool anybody. You can put on a smile. We can wear the suit coats and the dresses, but you're not fooling everybody. But if you would get real with God and say, God, I know I haven't been living right. Come on, nobody's going to look down on you. We want to make it to heaven together. Come on, I'm trying to encourage you. Cut some things off. I want to see every person in heaven. Come on, I want to be dancing on streets of gold with every person. I don't want to look down and see anybody in hell, but that we would all make it to heaven. And Jesus began to write, and he began to woe unto the Pharisees in Matthew 23. And when you look at what a Pharisee is not a person that knows nothing about God, but the word Pharisee is the separated ones. Come on, Jesus called us to be come out from among them and be ye separate. That's the church folks, the separate. And he begins to woe them in verse 23. He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and of cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Judgment, mercy, and faith, these all ye have done not to leave. Verse 25, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Verse 26, thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is inside the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Jesus, let them know, you first got to get the inside right before any outside. And I know some people struggle with outward holiness, but it starts when you can get the inside heart. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, in doing this, he said, give to yourself holy, give heed unto the doctrine, and in doing this, you're going to save yourself and to those that hear you. But the first statement he made is you got to get some things right in yourself. You've got to clean up this. The Bible says that this heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? Come on, we've got this flesh we've got to deal with every day. I've got to get my mind in check every single day. Because if I let unchecked flesh go, that leads me to destruction. The Bible says in Judges that every man did that which was right in their own eyes. But there is a standard that God has set to live above. Come out from among the world and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing, then I will receive you. Come on, I want to make sure that there's some things that God's going to highlight. Would you lift our hands right now? God, I pray that you would highlight some things to us, God, that we would fix. God, I don't want to shun it, Lord. I don't want to ignore it. God, I don't want to push off conviction. Come on, the Lord's pointing out some things in your life that you've got to get right. God, help us to make sure that I clean up that which is dirty. God, help me get the inside right, Lord, before I get this the outside, Lord. God, I want my inward, God, to talk right, Lord, so that others can see, God, and know that I'm loving, God. It's by my fruits, that's what you see. Woe unto you, verse 27, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and uncleanness. The thing is, your eternity, you making it to heaven or hell, is up to you. It's your choice whether or not you want to live for God or not. It's not we've got leaders, we've got parents that can teach us all these things. But until you get it for yourself, nobody is responsible except for you. We can't blame it on what's happened in the past. We can't blame it on all these things. But we've got to be real with ourselves. And that's the only time true conviction comes. And when you know your relationship with God is healthy, is when you don't care what everybody else thinks. But you can acknowledge, I need help. I need the Holy Ghost to change who I am. Come on, there needs to be some real people that I don't care. These altars are open right now. I don't care what anybody thinks. I know I may sing on the platform. I know I may be in a leadership position, but there are some things I need to clean up. If the piano player would come and you would come to this altar, God, I want to make sure that I'm clean. God, I want to make sure that I'm holy. God, I want to make sure that I'm living right and talking right and all these things, Lord. Come on, would you lift your voices? Don't be ashamed of things that we struggle with. Everybody struggles with temptation and flesh. But it's up to you. It's up to you whether or not you want to get your life right. Come on, God sent you a preacher today to let you know there's some things in your life that you need to get rid of. Oh my, hatayala bohosata. Come on, it's not, you don't got to be afraid. You don't got to be ashamed of the things you've done. But the Bible says where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Come on, the grace of God wants to cover you today. Come on, would you lift up your hands in full surrender? God, I surrender it all to you. God, I give it all to you today. God, withholding nothing. Lord, I give you my thoughts. God, I give you my plans. God, I give you my words. Come on, there's some things that you need to cut off. If thy right arm offend thee, cut it off. If thy left eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Come on, get real. Open up your mouth and tell God, God, this is what I want to fix. God, don't let me stop feeling conviction. Don't let me stop feeling conviction. God, don't let my conscience be seared with a hot iron. But God, I need to feel you. Come on, somebody needs to repent of their sins today. God, I repent of all my sins. Forgive me, God, of everything I've said. Forgive me, God, of things I don't even realize I'm doing. Come on, that's